Luke 22, commence at verse 54. Then took they Jesus and led him and brought him into the, high priest's house. Then took they Jesus and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock, the rooster, crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And I would also like us to read a little in the next chapter, chapter 23, verse 39. "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." The rooster is an emblem of Protestant Christianity in Switzerland, I understand, and in other parts of Europe. Its iron form often towers above the church structures and on top of the church steeples. Rather than a cross, there's a rooster. Why is this so? Why the rooster? We don't find roosters in the Old Testament. Christ reserved the right to use the rooster's voice, sound, crowing, to punctuate a climactic time of history, didn't he? He had every animal and every creature and every bird at his disposal. He reserved the right to punctuate this climactic time of history to trigger a single response in a believer. And may I say, it should trigger a similar response in all of us when we read this story. This is the response that Peter had. And Peter said, "Man, I did not know him." And immediately, while he yet spoke, the cock literally sounded. And turning, this is the only gospel that records this. That's why we're thankful for all four gospels. And turning, the Lord looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said to him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." The rooster is that which triggers thoughtfulness. The rooster should remind us of how painful it is when we deny the Lord Jesus Christ, and when we have denied Him. The rooster should be a reminder to us to remember Christ in all of our journey, to take thought of Christ, to remember Christ, to keep Christ in mind. You know, even in real life, the rooster has been a sign of the morning, hasn't it? It's a wake-up call to the household that has a rooster on its property. I've never had a rooster on our property, but I have heard roosters when I have stayed overnight at certain people's properties. And it does punctuate the atmosphere. And it does trigger certainly a response that it's morning. It's time to wake up. And isn't it something how the Lord used a rooster to trigger that kind of a response in Peter? Wake up, Peter. Wake up. You've denied Jesus Christ. Shake out of this. Confess your sins. I think it's a good emblem. Look up there, what were they trying to do? What were they trying to say when they built those structures? Stay awake, Christians. Beware of cowardice. Beware of the fear of man. Beware of denying the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter heard the second crowing, actually, after his third denial. Jesus said, and you combine all the Gospels, this is what He said, "Before the rooster crows twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." There's no contradiction in the Gospels. Matthew says there would be one crowing, not technically, he said, just like Luke said, "Before the rooster crows, thou shalt deny me thrice." And so there are people saying, well, there's a contradiction. Matthew and Luke and John, all they say is, "Before the rooster crows, thou shalt deny me thrice." And so there's a contradiction. Mark says, "Before the rooster crows twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." There's not a contradiction. Matthew, Luke, and John did not say, "Before the rooster crows once, thou shalt deny me thrice." They just didn't include the twice. But Mark did. So Mark gives us the full account. There's the denial, the first denial of Peter, the first crowing of the rooster. There's the second denial of Peter, the third denial of Peter, and the second and last crowing of the rooster. To set the record straight for those who say the Bible is contradictory. But the crowing should have a nagging effect upon anyone who is sluggish for Christ, anyone who is living in the fear of man or living in any way contradictory to the truth of Christianity. The rooster's crowing should cause us to remember the word of the Lord. For the Lord has all of His creation at His disposal. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day it uttereth speech. Are we listening? Do we listen to creation? Do we listen to natural revelation? Are we listening to special revelation? And I would like us just to think about the message of the two crowings of the rooster. What is it saying to us, in effect, when we summarize the crowings of the rooster? Just two simple thoughts. Christ remembered us. We ought to remember Christ. Isn't that really what the Lord's table is about? The symbols of Christ's life and death, of His body and His blood. He remembered us. So we come to the table to eat, to say we believe. And so we ought to remember Him in any way that He gives us permission and command to do. And we find this word remember in these contexts. Christ remembered us. Think of the prayer of the sinner. Lord, remember me. Aren't you glad that when it came time for Jesus Christ to be arrested, that He didn't say, I know Him not. I don't know the disciples. Are you the Messiah? Are you the Son of God? Are you the one that called the apostles? Man, I know not what you're saying. Aren't you thankful that Jesus didn't deny us? Aren't you thankful that He didn't... Wasn't He tempted to be cowardly? Don't you think there was... He felt the fear. He felt the concern. And He says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. And aren't we like that at times? We feel, I mean, the knot in our stomach, the concern that we have, certain things especially. Anybody like going to reach sinners? Going to talk to a lost person? I felt a knot in my stomach that Friday morning before that funeral. It was only the grace of God to stand and speak. I knew the different kinds of attitudes that were prevailing in that room that day. And I was comforted by our brother Paisley when I told him, I said, I feel terribly weak. And I, to tell you the truth, I feel afraid. And he actually said, it was a comfort. He said, I would be concerned if you didn't feel any fear, if you didn't feel any concern. I was afraid. And it's not saying anything negative about Christ to say that He was afraid. Wouldn't you have some fear when you were going to face stakes in your hands and feet? Spit? Plucking of your beard? We don't know things that are going to happen to us. The surprise element is a comfort. Is God's mercy to us. But as the Son of God, He knew. He knew every stroke, every single moment of what was going to happen, every single event. And Hebrews says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Aren't you glad the Lord didn't turn to the thief on the cross and say, I don't want to see your face. You've been a murderer, you've been a thief, you've been a robber. I don't want you into my kingdom. Aren't you glad the Lord turned and said, verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Aren't you glad the Lord remembered us? We were on His mind at Calvary. We were on His mind during His life. He never forgot us. So as I think about the crowing of the rooster, I think the Lord remembered us. Because when that rooster crowed the second time, what made Peter turn toward where the Lord was? I mean, that was wrenching. That's wrenching to read that, isn't it? Can you just see? You turn. It says the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. That means they made eye contact. The Lord made sure that Peter saw him. And whatever, it wasn't just a glance. Whatever Peter saw, it was the Lord looking into Peter. What did he see? Hurt in the Lord? Did he see, I told you so in the Lord? Did he see, Peter, I know you. I know everything about you. Peter, I love you. Follow, Sydney. That's too much. Aren't you thankful when we're tempted and even when we're cowardly, the Lord looks into us and He knows. And that should be even a strengthening at that moment. Lord, I'm afraid. I'm tempted to deny you. People are vicious. That look was all it took for Peter to break him, wasn't it? And it went out, and that's what he needed. That's just what he needed, didn't he? He needed that the tender, piercing look of his Savior. And what the Lord was saying there is, Peter, you've denied me, but I will not forget you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll never deny you, Peter. What love the Savior has for us. We come to the Lord's table, and some of you may be tempted tonight to say, I'm not worthy. Just today, this is what I did or didn't do. Or yesterday or this week. I think we can all say, we're not worthy. But I'm thankful it's not our worthiness. It's Christ's worthiness. It's His. He loves us. And He says, come. He says, examine yourself before you come. Have you been cowardly? Admit it and face it. But don't come to the table with an attitude, I'm just going to continue on in this vein. Come to the table with faith. That just like I turned Peter in that moment, and Peter was a different man from then on, so all of us can be different people from this moment. Whatever be your sin or my sin tonight that has really hurt us, that has debilitated us, that has just caused despair even in us, the Lord can change us. He has power. Look at the difference in Peter. Wasn't there a difference? He runs to the tomb. And with John, right, he wasn't as fast as John. Peter reminds me of me. Whoever would run with me somewhere, they'd always be out front. Unless I had a dog behind me. I can remember years ago as a little child, I was always slow of foot unless I was scared. And we went up and followed the creek. But, you know, as kids, I mean, I know half a mile. I know everything about, but as kids you think it's you're going to find the pot at the end of the rainbow, trying to look, where's this creek go? Oh, it went up into a development. And it was somebody's backyard, kind of a mansion backyard. And I'm reaching down and I find a squeaky toy. And I start squeaking it. And dogs can hear from a distance. And I'm squeaking this thing, and all of a sudden I hear this bark, and a big white German Shepherd's way up at the top and running straight toward us. And where do you go? We're in the middle of in just open woods here where we came from, and there's way over here there's a fence, way over here there's a fence. Well, it seems this one's closer. So my brother Fred, my cousin Keith, and I just took off, and they had me beat. I'm telling you, they had me beat by 20 yards. I beat them both to that fence. And we jumped over, and there was an in-ground pool. We didn't fall in that. There was no dog in that yard. And anyway, I don't remember the rest of it. But Peter was running with excitement, though, and with godly fear. Remember, Peter jumps in the water when He sees the Lord. He recognizes the Lord. And he's a different man. He stands up against those Pharisees that he was afraid of and says, "You have with wicked hands laid upon..." He was a different man. We can be different people. Even tonight, at this worship service, we can be different. We all need to be changed for the better, don't we? Can anyone stand here or sit here tonight and say, I don't need any improvement? The Lord's here to improve us. He's here to say, I want to be worshipped. You worship me, but you'll be better for that. It's a win-win situation to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. So as I think of the rooster's crowing, I think how much Christ has remembered me when I have forgotten Him. You know what Jeremiah said? "Lord, we have forgotten these days without number." Put all together, the moments we have forgotten the Lord, the times when we've just run off with His blessings and forgotten the One who blessed us. And the second thing of the rooster is what also was used of the Lord and Peter. We ought to remember Christ. Isn't that the plea of the Savior? Isn't that what He wants us to do, to remember Him? Remember, Ivan Foster preached on the text, and we believe Joseph, even though it's not necessarily confirmed so in the New Testament, was a type of Christ, a suggestion of Christ. Wasn't he the Father's beloved son, and jealous and hated by his brothers, and thrown into prison, but he ends up being a ruler? I mean, how could you not think of Christ? Isn't the Scripture suggesting Christ by Joseph's life? But listen to what, when Joseph helped, though, that when he interpreted the dream of the butler, remember? And he said, "In 3 days, your head's going to be lifted up and you're going to be returned to your position. You're going to have favor with the king. Because I've interpreted it, you know, he had an effect upon him." But this is what Joseph says to the butler in chapter 40 and verse 14. "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention," literally, "remember me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house." And Ivan Foster had a message about us remembering Christ after He's done good to us. Didn't He lift our heads out of the dungeon? Didn't He lift our wicked selves out of the dungeon of sin, out of disfavor with the king? Gave us favor with the king and closeness to the king. Isn't it the least of what we can do is, once we have been restored, to remember the One who encouraged us, who restored us? And he was just likening Joseph to Christ. And as it were, Christ saying, "When I save you, remember me. Remember me. How can you forget what I have done for you?" And I wonder if that's a picture in Moses' life. Remember, Moses went to the well and was waiting there, and Jethro's daughters came to the well, and the shepherds drove them away. You know, they wanted to get the better water that wasn't murky. And anyway, the women always were last. Always went home late last, because always men abused them. Well, here Moses steps up and says, "Get out of the way. You let these girls get their water. Let them go home and be safe first." I mean, what a man he was. What a righteous man. But what happens? They go home and leave Moses back there without a home. And Jethro says, "Why are you back so early?" "Well, an Egyptian helped us. An Egyptian drove those wicked shepherds away and told us to get water." And he said, "Why'd you leave them back there? Why'd you invite them for hospitality?" And isn't that a picture? Moses is the law. Some people liken it. We leave the law behind. The law brings us to Christ. And once we forget the law. Isn't much of Christianity doing that? The law is a schoolmaster to Christ, but we think, well, now that it's brought us to Christ, we leave it behind. We don't even give it any attention anymore. But certainly there's a thought here. If Moses is a picture of the Savior, and he is the prophet, Here he is. He helps us. He gives us water. He drives away our enemies and we leave him behind. How often we are like that as Christians. The Lord blesses us and we forget him. We ought to remember the Lord. As we come to the table, this is, do this in remembrance of me. You may have been forgetting me. Now remember me again. This is a trigger for us. Just like that crowing of the rooster, the Lord's table is good for us. It's a crow call, as it were, for us. We should show gratitude. Whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for you. Be not ashamed of Christ, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's avoid the plague of silence and the lie of denial. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Lord, how often have I forgotten thee? When people have spoken ill of thee, I haven't stepped in and defended thee. When I've seen an opportunity to talk to a soul, I've been afraid of his response. I've been more concerned about my reputation and someone rejecting me than whether they find life or whether Christ is honored by my boldness or by my willingness to take abuse. If by my abuse Christ is honored, let me be abused if I'll be used to honor the Lord. There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. So the plea of the Lord is that we ought to remember him. But may I say it should be the promise of the believer. I mean, the Lord not only pleads it, he commands it, do this in remembrance of me. That's found in Luke 22 and 1 Corinthians 11. Literally, be doing this. Anyone who does away with the communion table is in effect forgetting Christ. The thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Isn't Jesus saying, remember me when you come into my kingdom? I mean, isn't it just of us to do that? Isn't it right? We ask him, Lord, remember me in your kingdom. And now when we get into his kingdom, we forget him. Isn't that so ironic? So selfish of me? And all the Lord's saying is, remember me when you come into my kingdom. The least we can do. We ought to remember Christ. He pleads. It's his plea. It's his command. But it should be the promise of the saint. And I close with, we come to the Lord's table. Aren't we reaffirming our devotion? We're saying, Lord, by your grace, I promise, I'm intending from here on out to remember you personally, to remember you before people. What did he say to that butler? Not just remember me personally, remember me to the king. Didn't he say, mention me to the king? We come to the table and we, in a sense, do what Paul said to Timothy. Remember Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy 2:8. Who is risen from the dead of the seed of David according to my gospel. And later on in that chapter, just four more verses, he says, if we deny him, he will deny us. They that name the name of Christ will be departing from iniquity, is the idea, just a few verses later. In other words, remembering Christ is going to be effective for us. It's in effect confessing him. Keeping Christ in mind will prevent us from denying him. Naming his name on a regular basis and being busy in preaching Christ's name and witnessing of Christ is going to be a tremendous prevention of denial. How do we avoid denial? By confessing Christ. You can't do both. It's interesting that the word to remember comes from the same root as the word tomb or the tombstone. What's a tombstone for? Not just a mark, where to remember the person, to remind us who's buried there, to remind us of the life. This is a reminder to us. Do this in remembrance of me. This is a reminder the Lord Jesus remembered us. We ought to remember Him. It's a crow call to us. It's a remembrance device, isn't it? We need those triggers in our lives. We get busy. We get intimidated. And I believe when He says, do this in remembrance of me, He's not just saying, put me in your thoughts for a moment. That word remember is a word of the will. And it's a word that really has the idea of keep me in mind. Keep me in mind. Let's keep Christ in our minds. Let's remind others of Christ. And let's educate souls about Christ. People can't remember Christ if they've never heard about Him. In Corinthians, Paul says, there are some that have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. We ought to take it personally. If we understand there are people around us that have never heard Christ, there are little boys in the VBS last year that never heard of the cross. That ought to be personal to us. Can we do more? Can we write more articles? Can we put more advertisements in the journals and the penny savers? You think we've handed out enough tracts? You think we've preached enough? Have we even touched what we should be doing? Let's never think we've arrived. Let's have a blessed discontentment in that way. There are people that have never heard of Jesus. How can they remember someone they've never heard about in the first place? There are people that have heard about Him that have forgotten Him. Let's go remind them. And often we are made to forget Christ because we're so entangled with the affairs of this life. Let this table be a remembrancer, a remembrance device tonight. God bless His Word. Brethren, could you come at this